Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. I'm really excited today's show. I have some music playing in the background from a film my wife and I saw in Svengoli, and we were so excited. We live in Los Angeles, and I grew up in Pittsburgh and watched every Saturday night a show called Chiller Theater with Chilly Billy Cardilli. And I remember as a boy seeing The Creature from the Black Lagoon. And it was Beauty and the Beast, because the most beautiful photogenic actress that we're privileged to have on the show today is with us, Jolie Adams, with her son Mitchell Danton, who wrote a beautiful book about, of course, this cult film, as well as the great body of work that she has done. So we'll be back in about 20 seconds live on Richard Rossi Live to welcome Jolie Adams and Mitchell Danton. Well, welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and we're so thrilled to have the lucky Southern star, Jolie Adams and Mitchell Danton. Welcome, Jolie and Mitch.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Great to be here, Richard. Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, we're thrilled. You know, you have such a great body of work. In this book, by the way, for listeners, it's called The Lucky Southern Star, Reflections from the Black Lagoon. Would you suggest Amazon, or I know you have a website they can get it at, your official website, julieadams.biz. Where's the best place to get it, either Amazon or the website?
Correct. Everything on Amazon is it's usually a resale or a used book. The official website is www.julieadams.biz. Most people get a signed copy, and that's the only place it's available, especially if you want it exclusively personalized to you.
Well, thank you very much. I just got mine, and I was happy as a kid on Christmas to see this arrive in the mail. And I have to say, Julie, you have to be the most photogenic actress. All these pictures, oh, my God, there's... It seems like 100 great pictures in here, and the camera sure loves you, Jolie.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks to the camera if it seemed to like me.
Yeah. Well, I imagine, and I don't want to put words in either your mouth, Mitch or Jolie, but I imagine, because life is so, you know, surprising with its twists and turns, that with, you know, all these iconic films, you did the great Western, you know, with Rock Hudson and Jimmy Stewart, that the one that probably, I would imagine The Creature from the Black Lagoon is the one that people contact you about probably more than anything you've done. I mean, is that true, number one? And number two, is that a surprise to both of you?
The Creature from the Black Lagoon, as I've said before, it all sort of begins and ends with the creature, crazily enough. It has taken on a life of its own. It's bigger than it was in 1954 when it was released. We screen the movie pretty much, I would say, once a month somewhere in America exclusively. We were just in Portland, Oregon at the Academy Theater back in November, and it almost always sells out, and people drive from far and near to come see it, and it's astonishing how popular that film still is.
Mm. It really is something. Was it a surprise to you, Julie, because you had... as we said, you've working with all the legends you've worked with. You've done films and TV with John Wayne and Rock Hudson and Jimmy Stewart, and then The Creature becomes the leading man that probably more people ask you about. I mean, probably at the time, was that something that was you would have never expected?
It certainly has been nothing I would ever have expected. But... I'm delighted because it's fun, you know.
Of all the leading men, it's probably hard to answer, but I'm curious for both of you, who are your favorite leading men, if you can say that? It's probably hard to pick because you've worked with all the greats. I'm curious, Jolie and Mitch, both, if you have a favorite in terms of the chemistry or the work that you did together.
I think... from my discussions, I've done a lot of panels with Mom. She always adored Jimmy Stewart because she did the film Bend of the River in, 1951, And then she did a show called The Jimmy Stewart Show in the 1970s about Sasha 20 years later. So she got to work with him at least twice, and then for a period of 6 months, literally every day. So why was Jimmy so special to you?
He was, well, and is, a wonderful actor and a wonderful gentleman. And he can play anything, really.
Yeah, I really liked in the book, Julie, you said something so great because we have a lot of actors that like the show. And you said something that was such a great note to actors listening, was that you had this natural fondness and feeling for Jimmy Stewart. And, you know, this is such an icon that, you know, as an actor, maybe there's could be some nerves or whatever to work with someone like this. But you said you just took the natural fondness that you felt for him and you worked with that feeling as you, you know, did the show with him.
That's exactly true. Yep, it was working with Jimmy Stewart was always a thrill for me. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, you were a great couple in the show, and you know, how about of the films? Is there what would be maybe your favorite, Julie, and yours, Mitch, as Julie's son and co-biographer? Do you have a favorite of all the? I mean, your body of work is amazing. I see you on so many things. I would imagine sometimes you may not even remember all of them because, I mean, I did an acting job a couple weeks ago and was having problems remembering what my lines were 2 weeks later. But with you, we have these great stations now replaying the old TV shows. I think we saw you on a Charlie's Angels recently. Of course, Andy Griffith, you played this county nurse that he is attracted to. But do you have a favorite? What would be your favorite films, Julie, and also Mitch?
That's hard to say for me.
I know. Well, you loved Mississippi Gambler with Tyrone Power, right? Working with, you thought he was a great movie star.
I certainly did. I had a wonderful time working with Tyrone Power.
He was also one of those gentlemen that, even though he was such a huge star, he had a great heart and made all the other cast members feel right at home, didn't he?
That's right. Exactly. It was... It made you feel that we were part of his entourage.
Yeah, and the costumes were beautiful in that. She also loved working on the stage, which not everyone always saw because they were intimate gatherings. But those who did see her stage work, she won a Dramalogue Award for Long Day's Journey into Night in 1989 as Mary Tyrone, patriarch of the family, in the Eugene O'Neill masterpiece. What was Long Day's Journey into Night like, playing that part?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It's my favorite, really, I think, among anything I've done.
Yeah, and it was at the Vista Theater right here in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow, right there where Sunset and Hollywood meet.
Yeah, I was there. I saw it. It was probably maybe 200 people in the theater, but it was mesmerizing.
Man, I sure wish they would have had that on film. I saw in the book also one of your stage things. You were what they now call a cougar, an attractive woman who is kissing this younger actor that kind of sizzled up the stage in another play, 40 Carats.
Right, 40 Carats. You played that on the stage where you had a younger boyfriend or lover. Where did you were? Do you remember that show?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I think you did that play, and it was kind of a nice play, I think, for women. There were a lot of great parts for women, not just that one. I think she did Mary Mary, a Jean Kerr play, Finishing Touches, which I had the pleasure of getting to play a small part as her kid in it, in St. Louis, Missouri. So the stage was really a great place for women because I think there were better parts for women on the stage for a while there in terms of leading roles.
Yeah, that was that's so great that you were able to do both stage and film and TV. And you know, one of the things, Mitch, that you say about your mom is just kind of what you both just said about Tyrone Power, that she remained very grounded. And, you know, so many people, it's difficult to handle success in Hollywood, but you talk about her being kind of sane fiscally and, you know, having a place that's, you know, paid for, not living beyond your means. Do you think that was partly, you know, just your growing up in the South, some of the values you had? Or what do you think it was, Julie and Mitch, that enabled you to stay, you know, just a solid, grounded person through everything that you went through?
There's a lot of truth in that. It really is, because I didn't start off like a star, but I worked hard, and I think that's the answer, and I worked hard, and I enjoyed it always. So I love to work, period.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of, we've been back to Arkansas probably almost half a dozen times, I'd say. We were just in Malvern earlier this year. He was spent some time growing up. Some people may know Billy Bob Thornton. He also hailed from Malvern, Arkansas. And I believe some of his work was shot in that area. But the people there are really good people, and I got to meet some of her childhood friends who said she was always the smartest kid in her class and worked hard.
Wow.
It's been quite a journey on this book tour. We've been, I don't know, to probably, I must say, 30 cities at least, and maybe 20 states. And but Arkansas, they had an exhibit called Lights, Camera, Arkansas. They had an entire wall dedicated to her life and career there at the Old State House Museum in Little Rock. Mm. So we went to that bookstore in Blytheville that launched John Grisham's career years ago. He grew up in Jonesboro. So Arkansas, I think the people there have good values, and that translates into a lot of success for the people that leave Arkansas, you know, to Hollywood to chase that acting dream or career.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've come a long way from being crowned Miss Little Rock, Julie.
Oh, dear.
Well, have to put that on our road trip. My wife and I are going to do a road trip when we go through the southern states to see the little tribute to you there. I've been through Arkansas before. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I hope it's still going. I think last time I was there back in, I think it was September, it was still going there. It's right near the Arkansas River. It's a beautiful location. I believe the old state house might have been the former capital of Arkansas. It's one of the oldest buildings in the state and dates back to the Civil War. So for the sightseers, it's a great spot to visit if you're ever in Little Rock.
Mm. Yeah, and we've had on the show Elvis's fiance when he passed, Ginger Alden, who found him at that tragic time when he died. But we really also enjoy the film you did with Elvis, and you both being from the South, there was a feeling of kinship that seems to come across on the screen with you and Elvis. Had a good connection, didn't you?
We did have a very good connection, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yep, we were Southerners, and I enjoyed being with him and working with him very much, and I think he felt the same way about me, so we had fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like the chapter in the book. You got a title that says, I Kissed Elvis. And the pictures of you and Elvis, my daughter just turned 27. Happy birthday, Karis, to my daughter. We were having a birthday party here, and I was showing them this book. And when we came to the photo of you and Elvis, we all thought, oh, my God, these are two of the most photogenic people in this photo. You both look so great together.
Well, thank you very, very much.
I think that shot, she's probably signed, I don't know, thousands of that photo. We went to the Memphis Film Festival earlier this year, and you can imagine how popular Elvis Presley is in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And we were actually in Tunica, Mississippi, about a half hour south of Memphis. But that shot was a sort of a candid photo in the middle of their scene. They kind of said, hey, look over here. And they turned to the camera, so it feels very natural. It's not a staged photo, but
yeah,
it's absolutely adorable, and it's a fan favorite for sure of anyone who loves the King of Rock and Roll. It's gorgeous. That's also on our website, www.julieadams.biz, for anyone who's interested in seeing that photo or getting an autograph copy for yourself. But it's and the movie's actually quite good. We screened that in Malvern too this year. I didn't even wince. Yeah, she really.
Well, the one thing I want to change about it, I want you to get Elvis, Julie. I want you to be the one that marries Elvis.
Yeah, she
That's
ends up.
That's the only thing that I was wanting to change. I was like, I want Julie to get Elvis.
She kind of plays the foil, I think, to Jocelyn Lane, as I recall the plot.
Right, right.
Ends up with Elvis at the end, but she got to kiss him, which is more than a lot of ladies can say.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're better off. He might have been a lot of drama. I don't know. But you are great in the film. And for those of you listening, this is just a great book. You can get it at, as Mitch just said, at Julie's website, which is www.julieadams.biz or at Amazon. And, wow, the pictures in this book in the Hollywood history is just fantastic. And speaking of books, congratulations. As a film editor, Mitch, you just released your book, Cutting It in Hollywood, which is available at cuttingitinhollywood.com. We have a lot of editors that listen. I had a friend on the show, Michael Horton, who runs a editing club in Los Angeles and has also done a lot of acting as well. But how did you gravitate towards the editing side of the business? Your dad was an actor and a director and made some really cool films. Was it being around him in the cutting room, or how did you get bitten by the editing bug?
That's sort of, it's interesting. It's sort of a story like Mom's. Well, Mom was bitten by the acting bug in a Hansel and Gretel play in the second grade. I sort of got bitten by the editing bug, I think, in probably the sixth grade, because my father directed a film called Psychic Killer with Jim Hutton and also co-starred Mom. It was sort of like Carrie, kind of a telekinesis psychological thriller. And I got to go in the editing room, and an award-winning editor named Michael Brown, he opened my eyes to the magic of editing. He was doing kind of a psycho shower scene where a woman gets burned in a shower, and it was all very sexy and well-edited and shot. And I, from that moment on, this is in the 1970s, I decided I wanted to be an editor. And the book kind of chronicles my journey, basically the dream to winning awards and being on some big TV shows. And I also interviewed about 20 other top editors, including Michael Kahn, who works with Steven Spielberg. He wrote the introduction for the book, and he chronicles his amazing journey from New York to Hollywood and, you know, and all the great movies he's worked on. Most recently, I guess, Bridge of Spies, he just edited, which is very popular at the moment on theaters.
So you have really rode the journey through cutting on film, actual film, to, you know, seeing this whole digital change. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, it's interesting. We the book was just reviewed in Cinemontage, the Journal of the Motion Picture Editors Guild, and they gave it a nice review. And one of the things they noted, Betsy McLean, the reviewer, noted that the film chronicles the journey from film to tape to digital. And I think at least for those who didn't, you know, start working in the 1990s when I did, which was a revolutionary period in film, it gives them an idea of what it was like to, I cut Super 8 millimeter films at USC Film School, 16 millimeter films. I edited scenes on 35 millimeter. And then, of course, you know, we did, you know, tape to tape, and then now, of course, we're editing on Avids. And the Avid's an incredible tool, so I don't think anyone really has a desire to go back. There's so many things you can do in terms of visual effects, music, sound effects. But I think for anyone who really enjoys cinematic history as well as dreams of becoming an editor, it's a lot of fun to read, and there's some great stories in there and some lessons from, you know, Mary Jo Markey is also in the book, too, who edited the new Star Wars that's coming out at Christmas. And she had an incredible journey, too, from Ohio. And just lots and lots of other people who really had great careers, people that are directing now. So it was really eye-opening for me just to learn from other people how they did things and different approaches. And I think anyone that loves film editing or dreams of or just loves filmmaking would really enjoy some of the stories in the book because it has a nice charm about it, kind of like Mom's book, with a lot of good stories and fun. And, you know, people that enjoy it celebrates artists, you know, just like Mom's book.
Well, it sure is more important than many you know, lay people know, because I mean that's where the film is really made and put together, and it's so great that you're in the industry as well. So, Julie, you have on the IMDb, on the movie credits list, you have so many credits. On IMDb, you have 147 credits. You are one hardworking girl, and you certainly deserve to rest and sip lemonade right now. But is there any chance you would ever act again, or you feel like, you know, hey, look, I got 147 things out there for you to watch. Let me rest and, you know, enjoy what I want to do and go on vacations and things. Or do you think you would ever possibly do another role?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If somebody comes to me and has an interesting part to play and wants to ask me to do it, I would do it in a second. Absolutely.
We're also developing a short film based on her book, kind of like The Princess Bride, about kind of a long-lost niece that dreams of growing up to be the next Julie Adams and appearing in a remake of Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, that is a great premise. I love it. I love it.
And that's
oh, my God, I love it. Well, you know, we have a lot of directors that like this show, so you just got a lot of people excited that Julie Adams is open to working again on another project, because I see you have continued to work through just even a couple years ago. It says on the credits here, just a few years ago, you were a secretary, you were on Lost, CSI. Talk about exciting. And that's great. You two can collaborate. You know, Mitch can cut it together. See, if you have Mitch protecting you, the good work won't end up on the cutting room floor. He'll make sure the best takes are in there. Right, Mitch?
You always got to look out for Mom. I had the good pleasure of she appeared in a Beverly Hills 90210 that I worked on.
Really?
In the 90s. Yeah, she played Grandma Walsh, who was Brendan and Brandon's grandmother from Minnesota. And she was kind of a quirky character. I think they had a 20th anniversary party for the parents, Jim and Cindy, who were the Walsh parents. And she was just adorable. And then she did a scene, I think, in Minnesota where she, with Shannon Doherty, where she talks about how brutal the winters there are and things like that. So she had a very cute part in that, and it was really a delight to see her work, you know, from the dailies. I hadn't really seen anything but the finished product, but got to see just how marvelous the dailies were, and that's how her parts are so wonderful, because she does a great performance from the dailies, you know, all the way to the finished product.
Well, you have brought, you know, that together as an editor. That's so great you were able to do that. We have some messages coming in. You have a very diverse fan base, I'll tell you, Julie, because, well, you work with Elvis. Another Elvis sent in a message to you here. I don't know if I can pronounce the last name right. It's Elvis 20Zex, known as Screaming E, a rock and roll punk rock singer from Pittsburgh. And he said you were the nicest actress he ever met. I think he might have met you. Maybe it was at a Horror Creature Lagoon event or something. But he said that you were the nicest person, actress that he's ever met. So this is another Elvis saying he's so happy you're on the show and you were very, very nice when he met you.
I consider that a great compliment.
It's been fun since the book tour began, probably in 2011. We released the book at the end of 2011, and we've been everywhere. And really, the fans are, as we know, are a big part of every success, whether it be a film, a television program, a play, or in this case, the success of the book, that so many people have bought it, enjoyed it, told their friends, and kept it going. It's still as big as when we released it. You know, it's just, we keep selling copies every day. And I think people really enjoy the additional opportunity to meet her and ask a question about Jimmy or Elvis or Angela Lansbury, the creature from the Black Lagoon, John Wayne. So I think they're all part of the story in the book, too. We even have a chapter, I think, about meeting fans at some of the conventions when we were writing it. So they're a big part of the story, and I think her relationship with them is a huge part of her success.
Yeah, it sure is. I like the picture of you two in the back here with the Egyptian Theater. That's great.
Yeah, the whole journey really began at the Egyptian Theater. A fan, the book was, you know, the idea was a fan's idea who had a creature poster he asked her to sign it, and then he said, "Have you got a memoir, Miss Adams?" And we thought, "Well, no, we don't." And then I went home that night and wrote the the prologue or the introduction to kind of tell him the story of how we got the idea for the book. And then my wife Louise says that's pretty good. And then Mom wrote the next chapter talking about Creature from the Black Lagoon and how she got started in the movies. And then that was pretty good. And then we started the journey across the 147 credits to, and then the hard work began.
Oh, yeah.
Well, those of you listening, this book is fantastic, Lucky Southern Star, and it feels great. You know, just the quality of the book. I've had books where the pages start falling out almost as soon after you get it. The paper and the cover and just all these photos, it's just a better stock. It's just a really nice, book. I mean, I appreciate you guys did this with such quality and excellence, the way you put it together.
It was custom designed. We picked the highest quality paper. We did the two-sided cover with the movie posters to give the fans a taste of her career before they even opened the book. There must be 10 creature posters on the back and then some other films in the cover. So really, we wanted to be a souvenir because some people may not read it cover to cover, but we wanted them to be able to look at the pictures, read the captions, and get the flavor. And then hopefully they read the creature chapter or the Elvis chapter and go, "Boy, I want to read all of this. It's so good." And then just it's about a 7-hour read for those that dive in and kind of go start to finish. And because we did the audio book too, so we know how long it takes to read. We read it all aloud, or she did.
Yeah. And on the back, all these creature posters in all these different languages. Isn't that something?
It's astonishing the power of the Creature from the Black Lagoon worldwide. It has about 3 generations of fans now. Grandparents run it for their grandkids. We've met little girls named Kay, who were named after her character, who want to grow up to be a scientist one day.
Oh, well, you were a trendsetter, Not back in those days, they tried to suppress women that wanted to be doctors and scientists and things like that. So you were a hero to a lot of these young girls, Jolie.
Yeah, there really is a direct line, I think, to almost the Ripley character in Alien, some people have said, in terms of the monster, the strong female character. So I think it has an enduring appeal for so many reasons, and it's just a lot of fun to watch the movie. It's scary, but it's not too scary. It has some funny bits. The 3D is absolutely spectacular on the redesigned version that just won a Saturn Award a couple of years ago. They redid the whole film top to bottom on the Blu-ray for anyone that has a Blu-ray player, and it's available on 3D if you have a 3D TV, so you don't even have to go to the theater and get immersed in the 3D. It's absolutely spectacular.
Wow, that's great. We have a question from Virginia that got emailed in from Victoria. On the photos on the back, the top one is you and Rock Hudson, and wondered, what your thoughts were about Rock, if it was a shock to you, what happened with Rock. I have a dear friend, Jack Scalia, who co-starred with Rock after the McMillan Wife series. They did a series. I think it was called Devlin Connection. But what are your recollections of Rock, and was that a shock to you, his passing?
Rock passed away, pretty young from AIDS, and but you were best friends with Rock at the studio because they were both the two of the youngest. If you ever look at the Lawless Breed, which was, I think, the picture on the back of the book, it says starring the sensational young stars from Bend of the River, so their careers sort of catapulted simultaneously, and they were the two young up-and-comers at the studio in the 50s. What were your recollections of Rock Hudson? You were pals, right?
He was my great friend. I loved working with Rock. We had such a good time together. And I really miss him now,
Yeah, they were friends at the studio, played bridge together. They were literally, I think, probably a year apart in age. And at the time, in the 50s, they were both in their mid-20s and just ascending to international fame together, so I think they shared a similar journey at Universal, at least, in those days.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I wish it wasn't going by so quick, but they're letting me know we're down to like 20 seconds, so I want to thank you so much, Mitch and Jolie, and those of you listening, the book Lucky Southern Star, Reflections from the Black Lagoon, Jolie Adams with Mitchell Vanton, is available at her website. Get a signed copy. Go to her website, www.julieadams.biz. And editors, a great book for you, cuttingitinhollywood.com, Mitch's editing book. Thank you so much, and have a blessed holiday season. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Christmas blessings to both of you.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you so much, and we you know, so appreciate your hard work on putting all this together. Thanks again. And
Oh, you're most welcome, Julie, and thank you for all the joy you've given us with your work. Well, it's nice to see mother and son collaborating like this, and I can't thank you enough. You have a wonderful day, and hopefully the fans will get out there and see you at some of the screenings and appearances you'll be doing.
Yes, indeed. Monster Palooza in Burbank in Pasadena is coming up next year, so hope to see some great folks out there.
Oh, great, Mitch. Well, thank you again to both of you, and thank you to everybody listening today. And happy birthday, happy birthday to my daughter, Karis. I can't believe that she is 27 today. Where did the time go? And thank you, and check out this wonderful book, Lucky Southern Star. Be blessed, and thanks again for listening to the show.